King of kings, the Lord of lords, I am that I am. Blessed be your name. Awesome God, mighty God, we give you praise. Awesome God, we give you praise.
Mighty God, you are highly lifted up, awesome God. You are highly lifted up, mighty God. You are highly lifted up, awesome God.
Welcome to School of Miracles. Now, miracles everywhere. Miracles every day. Hallelujah. And it should not pass you by. Amen. Hallelujah. God causes all things to work together for our good, for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. Everything. So, and that's why in every situation, he says, in all things, we should give thanks. Amen. Because the end thereof will be good. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to those of you here and to those online. I'm sure you have a wonderful time. Amen. First Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. First Corinthians 12, 31. The Bible says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, but yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, if you read from verse 1 to verse 30, you will see that it was talking about spiritual gifts, and it spoke along the diversity of gifts. It says in verse 4, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Hallelujah. And then he continues. And then when he gets to verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Yet I show you a more excellent way. Hallelujah. So you will see that if you will give context to verse 31, then verses from verse 28, it begins to give you context and says, because that but that begins verse 31 tells you that this is saying, is negating all that I said, and then he says, but. So if you look at all the things he mentioned in the previous, in preceding verses, he says, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administration, variety of tongues. I says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Amen. So not all people will be prophets. Not everybody will be teachers. Not everybody will have gift of healings. Not everybody is not. If you read from verse 1, it talks about the fact that the Spirit gives as he wills. And it says it's the same Spirit, but different dimensions of that Spirit that we'll get. Okay? So all of us will not have those gifts. We will not all have the same set of gifts. Okay, so what it means is that the gifts I have will be different from the gift you have. Hallelujah. It will be different from the gift the next person has. Okay, we may see a replication of one gift in two people, but they will not have the same set of things. Not everybody will be preachers, not everybody will be apostles, and not everybody will have the gifts of healings. It says, but in verse 31, it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Hallelujah. So you look at all these gifts and you desire the best gifts. Okay? You crave for it, you ask God for it, and things will begin to happen. And then now talks about the Father, look, after these best gifts, then I says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you look at why would he say I show you a more excellent way? I see one of the things I see in this sentence is that every other gift that has been mentioned is not replicated. Hallelujah. Okay? Not everybody. He says not everybody. Are all, and it's a question. He says, are all prophets, are all this? Which means that you also have to be very careful when you come across people and you are dealing with people, especially when it comes to spiritual matters. But he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And this way that he's showing you, okay, believe you me, is a way that everybody should have. So it's not going to be, it is a way that everybody should follow, and it's a way that everybody should walk in. Okay? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, he says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Hallelujah. So it means that all those manifestations, all those gifts, or the different expressions of the Spirit of God that everybody possesses, okay, requires a vehicle to make sense of it. Amen. And see, all these things are not far-fetched, because we're not going to be speaking so much English. It's just very simple. So if you see somebody and he says he's a Christian, okay, the basic expectation of a Christian is the way of love. The basic expectation you will have of a Christian is this more excellent way, which is the way of love. Because for every gift that he has mentioned here, he says, but if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Amen. So if you have it, for it to profit you, it must come along with love. Amen. He says, I show you, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the way of love. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we go to the question. So what is love? 1 Corinthians 13, from verses 4 to 7. Let's break it down. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed off. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. And then, so here Paul has made a pressing out of love. Okay? That these are the attributes of love. Okay? If you want to know if you are going the way of love, then he says, love is kind and it suffers long. Hallelujah. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Amen. First Corinthians 12, 31 ends and says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Because that is the foundation of love. That is the foundation of life. That more excellent way. If you go to 1 John chapter 4. And verse 16. 1 John 4, 16. He says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 31, it says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. I join it to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. Okay, it talks about the fact that without all these, without love, all these things that I'm manifesting does not profit anything. Hallelujah. Then 1 John 4, 16 says, you know what? The sum total of this thing is that God is love. And if an evil abides in love, abides in God. Hallelujah. And God in him. That's why it makes it the more excellent way to go. Hallelujah. Meaning that if you will exhibit love, if you live the way of love, you are abiding in God. And such a person is not going to miss it. Amen. He says in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 from verse 12. It says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Do not let go. Keep her for your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. In verse 11 says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. Hallelujah. Says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. If you go to Proverbs 14 and the same verse 12, he says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Hallelujah. Well, then is the way of death. Hallelujah. So if you look at 1 John 4:16, that talks about the fact that God is love. And if you walk in love, you are, that means you are abiding in God, and God is an abiding in you. That means that the things that you are doing, they are constrained by God. Amen. They are constrained by God. And that's why 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the fact that if you speak in diverse tongues and you have no love, you are just like a sounding, just like a clashing cymbal that is making no sense. Hallelujah. In the book of, I think it's in Luke. The story of Zacchaeus. I think it's Luke chapter. Let me just get it out. Yeah, Luke chapter 19. If you look at it, if you remember the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus was coming into the city, and Zacchaeus wanted to catch a glimpse of him, right? And what did he do? He chose to go and climb the tree, right? And when Christ got right under that tree, Christ stopped. He looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today." Let's go. Luke chapter 19. Yeah. Let me just read it. So it says, It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay in your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' Amen. And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to your house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Amen. I read that so that you can see the picture. Now, Zacchaeus just wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And he knew that because he was a short man, in the crowd, he would not see. He would not see him. Okay? He had heard of him. All right? And then here was Jesus coming to where, to the tree where Zacchaeus was hanging up on us, had climbed up on, and then stands under the tree and calls him by name. Amen. Hallelujah. He calls him by name. Okay? That means that Christ knew him, even from afar. And Christ knew where we'll find him, that he'll be on top of the tree. But what was important, or what was striking to Zacchaeus, and why Zacchaeus had a change of mind, was that Christ said, "Come down, I'm coming to your house today." Okay? And if you look at it, the crowd there, people like Zacchaeus, the tax collectors, were not people that anybody liked around them. That's why the crowd was complaining that, they complained he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Okay? So to them, Christ was identifying with a sinner. But that's an example of you living a life of love. Christ was not going to be talking and telling the guy, he was not preaching, okay? He was not saying anything other than expressing love. Amen. Because if it's somebody that people keep on the outside, is like an outcast in the society, and he's saying, he first calls him by name, okay? Then says, "Come down, I'm coming to your house." Then that is a classical example of how to show love. Because number one, he didn't deserve it. By people's standards. But by God's standards, he deserves it. Amen. Hallelujah. See, love, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love suffers long, love is kind, okay? And love is not puffed up. It does not think about itself. Amen. That's what love is. So, love is making, love makes an excuse for the next person without the person coming with an excuse. What does that mean? So, if by adventure someone has erred, okay, it should be from the angle of love, you should be able to say, there must be a reason why this person has done so. Nobody just willfully goes out to do wrong, except he has been totally derailed. And people missing the mark also comes from the fact that people don't show love. So if only makes an error today, okay, and then makes an error tomorrow, and everybody keeps pulling that person down, after a while, the guy will just be comfortable making an error. Because he will look at it and will say to himself, the end result is that they will just send me out, and I'll just be on my own as usual. And that's why you have to do everything with a good measure. First is that because you love somebody, it doesn't mean that you are condoning what is wrong. Don't make a mistake. Because you love somebody does not mean that you are condoning what is wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. If you look at, I think it's John chapter 15, it talks about the vine, that God, he talked about the fact that he prunes the vine so that he can produce more fruit. And that's love. Hallelujah. But it says love is accommodating. It doesn't mean that love makes an excuse for every wrong thing that you do. Amen. You know that if you say somebody has done a foolish thing and somebody is foolish, they are two different things. Hallelujah. If you say someone has done a foolish thing and you say somebody is foolish, they are two different things. But oftentimes, what everybody will say is that the person is foolish. So you doing something in an uncouth manner is different from you being somebody that is uncouth. Amen. So if you do something that is, in quotes, stupid, means that that particular action that you have taken at that point in time was totally out of place. It doesn't mean that you as a person is out of place. Hallelujah. And that's what love prepares you for. So once you see someone out of range or out of place, the first thing that will come to your mind, if you are walking in love, is not to push that person out. It's to make that excuse for the person. From the standpoint, the viewpoint of love, make that excuse for that person and draw that person in. Amen. Everybody was corrected when they were growing up. Everybody. Either you were corrected by slaps or you were corrected by cane. Someone corrected you somehow. And what they will tell you is that it's because I love you that I'm beating you. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people learned by being beaten, and some people did not learn. Some people just come and say, okay. Tomorrow, if I do this thing, they will beat me. So you just come. Now, he's saying this excellent way, which is the way of love, is that you're abiding in God, and God is abiding in you. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Okay? It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love. If you look at the New King James Version, the NLT, verse 2 in NLT, Ephesians 4, 2 in NLT, says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Amen. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Now, the man that makes a mistake today, okay, can tomorrow correct his mistakes in a very grave manner, in a great manner, so that the mistake of yesterday is forgotten. Now, at the point that he was making the mistake and everybody crucified him and says nothing good can come out of this guy, he will not be spoiled to greater works when he comes back to do something better. The more excellent way, which is the way of love, he says, you will make allowance for each other's faults if you walk in love. Hallelujah. It does not give the license for everybody around you to continually be at fault. Hallelujah. Or to continue to make fault. But it gives you a breathing space to understand how to walk in the line that God has asked you to walk in. In Romans chapter 5, from verse 6. My emphasis will be on verse 8. On verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. You know what he's saying? He says, if you see a righteous man, it's rare for you to say you want to die for a righteous man. Then even if you see a good man, it's also very difficult to say, I want to die for a good man. But in the case of Christ, what did he do? He says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Amen. That means that while we were still in fault, okay, he died for us. It wasn't because of how good we are or what we have brought to him that made him die for us. It was out of love that he died. He says, he demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if we have to walk the way of love, this is what he's asking us to do. If we go back to Ephesians 4:2 and verse 2 in the New Living Translation, it says that with long suffering, we should always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's fault because of your love. This making allowance for each other's fault is as Christ died for us even when we are yet sinners. Amen. Because there was we had no local standard before him. I mean, there was no reason for him to have died for us except that he loved us. Amen. Except that he loved us. And he's saying that make allowance for other people's faults. And in the place of love, he says, when you are walking in love, you abide in God and God abides in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me or you want to sleep? I know the rain will make you want to sleep. 1 John 4:16, he says, God is love, right? And then abiding in him, if you abide in him, you abide in love. And then God abides in you. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, he says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So by the time you make love your target and your goal, you are carrying God. Hallelujah. He says God lives in you and you live in him. How does God live in you? The things that you do will align with the things that God expects you to be doing. Amen. The things that you do will align with what God also will do. Amen. Hallelujah. And if he abides in you, this mortal body will always respond to his word. Amen. If he abides in you, your body will always respond to his word because he abides in you. So for instance, if you are locked up in a place and that's why usually people have spies, countries are at war against one another, they have spies within the other country. So if it's Mr. Sajere's country that is warring against my country, Mr. Sajere will have spies inside my country and I'll have spies in his country. Why would I have spies in his country? So that whatever he is doing, okay, they will tell me. Now, they are not telling me whatever he's doing for telling me sake. They tell me so that I can make use of it. And then, if I need to send anything out, I'll send it to them. Okay? So that if I want to communicate with them, for them to do anything in Mr. Zadir's country, they will be able to do it. And if I am coming, they will be able to distract him to allow me in. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to tell you that if you abide in God and God abides in you, if things are going to happen either way, because both of you are interconnected, it's like one spy and another spy, okay? Because it's in you, and then you are listening to his word, it will quicken his word because of that way of love that you are doing. Because he's abiding in you, and then you are walking, because you are walking in love, he's abiding in you, it will be difficult for you to fall sick. If you say that every fiber of your being should respond to God's word, it's because the word of God is on the inside of you. If you do not have that word of God on the inside of you, the fiber of your being cannot respond to that word. Amen. You know, that's why you don't respond to what you are not. Or you should not respond to what you are not. Abi? So, if somebody calls and says, "What's Wobi?" You know, "What's Wobi?" There was a time I went to Ibadan. I went for a program, and then some guys, I think they went to club. I know they sat in the club, and the guy says, the only way he can get any girl's attention is he just say, "What's Wobi?" I mean, "What's is first, get your attention, and then look here." That's the meaning of what Adatho thought. Now, how on earth will you respond to "Wos Wobi"? Because it's not your name. And oftentimes we respond to things that to names and things that do not belong to us. If word of God is on the inside of you, and God is on the inside of you, if you speak that word, because God is on the inside of you, there will be a response. Amen. Hallelujah. There will be a response. Now, the people that are used to the lifestyle of woes, they will always respond when they hear woes. So I can't imagine that somebody comes in and out and there's a woes. Now, ordinarily, some people want to react. But when I hear things that, if you don't call my name, it's difficult for me to turn my head. If you don't call my name, it's difficult for me to turn my head. Christ has shown us, for him to get Zacchaeus' attention, he had to call Zacchaeus' name. He didn't say, "Hey, look here." The only thing he did was, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today." If your body will respond to God's word, it's because your body understands God's word by virtue of the Spirit of God and God that is on the inside of you. You know, the last three lessons we had in foundation class, and especially the last one, talks about the fact that you should meditate on God's word. Joshua 1:8. Okay? Talks about the fact that you should meditate on God's word. And then, please let me have Joshua 1:8.
Be lifted. Oh, the gods. Be lifted. And worship
He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He says, you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So first, you have meditated. And then you are getting to understand that, oh, I'm supposed to do these things today. He says, you're observing to do as what is written in it. Okay? So the meditation of day and night is not so that you just know these words. You know, some people can quote the Bible from beginning to the end, which is what 1 Corinthians 12:31 and 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. That, look, if you can do all these things and there's no love, it amounts to nothing. I know these days everybody is trying to use that to attack the church. Then why is the church doing this? Church will be given to the congregation. Why is church collected from the congregation? They are trying to tell you that church should show love. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he's saying that you may observe to do according to what is written in it after you meditate. That means once you meditate, that word resides on the inside of you. You understand those words, okay? And then you are doing what the word says. Hallelujah. In your being prosperous is not because you meditated. Hallelujah. Your being prosperous, like I said the last time, is because you are observing to do what is written in the word that you have meditated upon. Amen. You know, there was a time that I told you, I went to an exam room. I didn't read Jack. I went to that exam room. And when I got there, I saw the first question, the second one, the third one, and I knew that the end of this matter is a failure. So I was just happy. And I put my head and I slept. And the Lord came and woke me and said, oh, you're sleeping. And I'm like, I'm just whiling away time. There's nothing to write. Now, another time, I'll go to exam room after having read. And then, you know, you just be writing. And then you call for more paper. Then you write, right? Then say, give me. Now, it's because what you have read, now you are making use of it. You are able to apply what you have read. The other times that you are not able to apply what you have read, you are not observing to do it. Now, at the end of it, the result is going to show whether you have done according to what you have read or you have not. So, this observing to do is very critical in the end result of your way being prosperous and you having good success. Hallelujah. Amen. If God is in you and you are in God, you ought to walk in the way of love. So if I come here every time, which is what 1 Corinthians 13 is saying, that if I come here and I do all the sermon I want to do, and after service, the only thing I do is have a grumpy face and just be totally badly behaved. You will not take, if you are the ordinary human being, every time I talk, you will take it with a pinch of salt. It's not going to profit anybody. It's just going to be like, this man, leave what you are saying. That's what you'll be saying. Amen. So stop coming here and just be preaching, and we are not seeing it in your life. Hallelujah. That is the essence of what you are saying. So if you are speaking in tongues, okay, it says, if I have the tongues of angel, and yet I do not have love, it does not profit anything. Because every time we come, we read Jude 1:20, that we should do what? We should pray, and then you are doing what? You are building an edifice that goes higher and higher and higher. That edifice will not profit anybody, and even yourself. That's the bad. That's the disservice about it, too. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 13. See, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That means everything I'm saying will not make melody to people's ear. It makes no sense. The next thing he says, although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove
mountains, but have not Lord, I am nothing. So, you know, love says you are not puffed up. When you say, when you are puffed up, you know, when people are knowledgeable, okay, they have knowledge about something, when they come into a room, they can suffocate, they can take everybody there because of that knowledge they have, because they are puffed up. They feel like nobody's like them. He's saying that, look, if you have all the knowledge and there's no love, you are nothing. Amen. These standards are the standards we ought to work with. Hallelujah. And let's go back to Joshua 1:8. Because if we do all the meditation that we need to do, and we are not making use of all that the meditation has brought to light, then we will not make your way prosperous. And there will nothing be like nothing like good success. Hallelujah. So success has category. There's success and there's good success. Abi? The good success, the one that everybody celebrates with you. The success you have, you are the only one that thinks that you have succeeded. And then to everybody, they will be like, what has he done? Because it has not impacted people's life. Amen. God wants us to be like him. And that's why he sent his son. And that's why he says that we are righteous by virtue of Christ. We have right standing with him. Amen. And as we walk the way of love, it eliminates. Okay. So let me look at it this way. If you see the energy that you put in loving people and the energy that you put in doing the opposite, the one that you put in loving people takes less energy than the one that you put in hating people. Some people will say no, but it's easier to love than to hate. It's easier to be somebody's friend than to be his enemy. Because if you are somebody's enemy, when the person is coming, you want to take this way. It's a problem. What if there's no way here? Then your mind begins to imagine all things, different rumbles in your mind, and then you're just distraught all over the place. Now the person that ordinarily will be friendly or will exhibit love will move freely. Amen. It will move freely. And you'll be able to approach people without any fear of rejection, no matter what. Hallelujah. The way of love. We all have to be masters of love. You see, and I've told you that it's not dependent on the other person. Because if we were so, Christ would not have died for us when we were yet sinners. That's what Romans 5:8 tells us. He would not have died for us when we are yet sinners. So, we have to be the ones looking out for us to be able to impact that love. He says, because he loved us, that's why he died for us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I read from verse 1. It says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what his love bought for us. And we have to sustain what his love has purchased for us. He says all these things and says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. And if we will meditate on his word, we will stay healed. Hallelujah. If we will meditate on his word, we will stay with what he has purchased for us with his blood. He says, by his stripes, we are healed. And his stripes came by the way of love. Hallelujah. His stripes came for the reason of love, not for any other reason. I mean, he could have walked away from everything that he went through, but so that you and I can live a free life. Hallelujah. So that your life can claim what he has done for us. Hallelujah. Can claim it. Are you getting me? You can claim it. Amen. He has done it, but you need to claim it. Everything that everybody provides for his family, if they don't claim it, it is useless. Hallelujah. To the persons that he has provided it for. So if you have a family and you go out and you walk and you come back, you make everything available, and then they wake up in the morning, look at it and go out and look for something else. What is the essence of what you have made provision for? Or they don't even know. And that's why he has given us the scripture, so that we can know the things that he has really given to us, even before we were born. So that when we know, we also know how to claim it. Amen. If we walk his way and walk the way of love, we will claim the things that he has done for us by virtue of his death. Amen. It says all things, he has made all things available. It says through him was everything made, and there was nothing that was made without him. Amen. And for you, for the sake of you and I, it says, I have come that you may have life. John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But if you don't receive him, you can't have it. Amen. So when he was speaking to them that he will call his own. So for everything that he has, that we say, this is what the blood of Christ has done, this is what salvation has brought, it takes you claiming it, believing it to claim it, for you to have enjoyed it. Amen. Everything that you do, if there's no love in it, is as good as nothing. And so even when you pray, hallelujah. Amen. Even when you ask for things, hallelujah. If you are not walking in love, you'll be far away from it. Amen. Don't be deceived by the little things that you call success. Because Joshua 1:8 says that we are not looking for success. What we are looking for is good success. Some people say semantics, but there's good success. If you are supposed, if you on a scale of 1 to 10, if you are supposed to be 10 over 10, and you get 5 over 10, and you're happy, there's a problem. Because you don't know that you're supposed to be 10. You now got 5, and say, ah, at least I got 5. I'm happy. Meanwhile, where you ought to be is 10. That 10 is your good success. That 5 is what you have regarded as success. It says, by stripes we are healed. And healing is not only confined to diseases. Always remember that. Everything needs healing. That's why we say our land needs healing. Hallelujah. Amen. Anything that's not conforming to God or to the word of God needs a turnaround. Hallelujah. A turnaround from its present situation to what God has called it to be. And that's why we need to go the way of love. when you add love to everything that you are doing, then it will profit you. That which you are doing will profit you. Amen. And he says the examples that he has given to us. He says, I do the things I see my father do. The examples of the things that he has given to us are the examples of the thing we ought to do to people. When they came to arrest him, and that I think it was in the book of John that it was recorded that one of the guys that came cut, Peter cut off the ear of one of the guys that came. He could have left the ear there. Amen. But he picked it up and put it back in position. That's love. In spite of what was done to him, or despite what was done to him, it's good to see that this guy will be in pain. He will not have any hair and put it. And you know that person that he sent back his hair will never forget. Your little acts of love will always draw to you the things that God has proposed for you. Because he says, when you abide in him, when you abide in love, he abides in you, and then you abide in him. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just talk to God this evening. But you have to make a decision, and a conscious one, and make up your mind that if you have not been, and even if you say you are, you have to move from this level of living in love to a greater dimension of walking in love. He said, when he was teaching them to pray, he says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Hallelujah. He says you make a case for them that have faults against you even before they come. The things that God has packaged for you will come when you walk the way of love. Just all eyes closed, all eyes bowed. Just be talking to God this evening. Thank him because his word, the light that is what throws, as this seed is being sown, the light that it was throws in your heart, it illuminates every area of your life. And you begin to see where you are not doing what he expects you to do. How you are not walking in love. You begin to see it. And then you begin to correct it. That's why I say all eyes closed. So that you can see and begin to correct it. Even now. If you are doing things that he has not asked you to do, you need to stop it. So that you make straight your way with him. Hallelujah. Let's talk to him. Father, we thank you. Rescata libo sata lida branda sakadia. Eka plato sata lida padika sasa titi disata lia. Makratoske te bumulo toska tadi de braska prato pradibaseka. Edibruda skata blode pradiska ta branda bose pradiska tadia. Limba tose kradiska ta din de broska pradoske te diam. Ekrado proto pradiska te din de sanda liga ta broda pradiska. Ekrado prodo bonske ke bombla da se katisa mangrado se krado produce de bombla disa da banda basekaria ekle de bombla da bo sangla ske se de bo se de liga limplaska de brondo so produce ke diska talia mande sente di de broska da blonde se te linda da basekaria e de bronze gradinska da lingra do se ke de brado skatinda lea E kanda tsekla do pradiska te kinga bu mangla do sekla do pradiska ta dinda da sadia e sanda liga ta broska ta lingra do ska ta basadia.
Oh, be lifted. Oh, the gods, we lay a crown and worship you.
Oh, be lifted above all other gods. We lay a crown.
To remove confusion, man, I see someone is confused. Man, all eyes closed. Man, ta santa lida de basakaya. Eka poseka lida leseka linga basakaya. Says the entrance of your world gives light and understanding. Eka poseka lida to the one that is confused. Man, satalia. Eka poko, put your hand on your chest. Man, la basakata lida. Eka toma kasaka liga basakaya. Eka maseka. He says, I will show you the way to go. In la basanta linga basakaya. Eka poka linga la basakata liga la bosaya. Eka po masanta ligra do boskata liga. Erebons katanda da basanda liga. Eka kumba kinga liga santa liga. Erebons kanta tambro seka tisata liga raba. Eka masaka ligra boske kikam basaya. Maka posedia. It will involve huge steps of faith. Lengala basaya. Eka pom makanda zeta lida basaya. Erebos katalingra da baskata bomba rabakia. E sanda da baseka boskaya. Makamba sata liga da boskadea. E santo sopra disadalia. Erebos kanda sekla kingalia. E kato pratinga da babaseka boskadea. Mando sopra disa da basaya.
Lord.